And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient and modern mysteries all across the globe. We just have a really, really great show today. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just going to be a really great show. I have a fascinating guest. We're going to talk about the healing benefits of coffee and vinegar and olive oil and honey and chocolate. Have I got your attention yet? Are you excited? I am, because I love those five things. And then afterwards, I'm going to talk about the news of the day, very, very big news involving ETs and UFOs and Congress and all of that. So that would be the last 15 minutes of the show. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the show the author of these books, and her name is Cal Ori. Welcome.
Welcome. Hello, people. Hello, Mike.
Thank you, Cal, up in Lake Tahoe, correct?
Correct. I am in the mountains, a block away from the big, deep, dark lake. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Now, I really, really wanted you on the show because we're going to start with your latest book, Coffee. I love coffee. I feel slightly guilty about it. I hear all kinds of things, if it's healthy or not healthy. Why don't you tell me about the basic premise of the book?
Well, basically, excuse me, people recently, and even in the past, in the 20th century, they thought that coffee was bad for you. And this book is to kind of wake people up. No, coffee is not bad. It is not a vice. It can be and is a virtue. Again, it's the type of coffee, the way you prepare it, and also having a healthy lifestyle that can help make you stay healthy. Also, there's been studies that I discuss that shows that fresh ground coffee from whole beans can actually help lower the risk of heart disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and on and on. So there is anecdotal evidence and as well as studies that show that, yes, coffee can help you stay healthy.
Well, it makes sense because it's from a natural substance, a bean that is grown at the equator. What could be more natural than that? So what are the healing elements or properties within coffee that help you?
Well, it's the antioxidants. When I interviewed nutritionists, doctors, all the people that know about this stuff, they always went back. You know, the caffeine is fun. That can give you energy where you can actually exercise, suppress your appetite so you don't overeat. But it's the antioxidants that make it really healthy. The antioxidants, actually, just like you find in fruits and vegetables, but two antioxidants key to coffee's health buzz are chlorogenic acid and caffeic acid. And actually, I discovered that coffee boasts more antioxidants than cocoa and tea, which is really amazing. And the average layperson doesn't know that. When they drink a cup of coffee, they think they're just getting caffeine and, you know, that's it. But it's so much more than that. And again, I do want to say it's coffee in its natural state. I mean, a cup of coffee that you make that is healthier than, you know, loading it up with the flavorings and whipped cream and whole milk and sugar. That's when you kind of make your coffee not so healthy.
Right. Now, what I do, a little trick I use, is I buy the whole beans and I blend them right in my blender. Should we buy them whole and blend them right before you use them?
You know, it's funny. When I did the research, I was comped a lot of coffee from all around the world. I was in coffee heaven. And I did do that. And it is better. It tastes better. It smells better. It's better for you with the antioxidants. However, now I'm getting lazy and I'm not enjoying my coffee as much. I totally stay away from instant coffee. You know, it's more processed. But what you're doing, Mike, is really the way to do it. And now I feel guilty. You made me feel bad. I have to get out the coffee grinder that I was given as a gift, too. And I'm going to start doing that because you'll enjoy it so much more.
Absolutely. Now, what about some of the other uses of coffee? One thing I do is I never throw away my grounds. I always find a house plant and I put the grounds in the plant. You know, what are some other uses?
Right. How did you know that?
Because I actually used to work in a coffee house and people would come in for their garden and they would take the coffee grounds from us.
That is funny. Definitely you can do that. I did it with the aspens out in the front yard. I don't know if it made them healthier, but I was hoping that it would. What I learned, which is really fascinating, is that a lot of beauty products contain coffee in them. And I was sent a lot of ready-made coffee products, but you could actually use the coffee grounds, do it yourself at home, for women and men, as like a coffee scrub, an exfoliant, where you put it on your body, like in the shower or your face, and it really can make a difference. It works wonders of it, you know, the appearance. It gets the circulation going. You could actually use it for your hair, for your face, for your skin, for your feet. I have all these little recipes that I discovered during my research. So coffee, if you talk to beauty experts or health spas, they'll tell you they're not it's not a foreign word. They use it in a lot of their you know, their, what do you call it, treatments or beauty treatments that they provide. But again, you can do it at home.
Right. Now, one thing I was told years ago from a doctor, I had had a kidney stone, and he said, don't drink too much coffee, it dehydrates you. What do you say about
That's
that? Is that.
controversial. I just read something the other day that said the complete opposite, and 90% of your coffee is water. So I have read it both ways. It's really controversial, and usually tackling diet subjects, controversy always is there. Again, well, I don't even know if I already said it, but moderation. You don't want to drink six cups of coffee a day. I mean, why? I drink probably 12 ounces in the morning, and that is good. On occasion, like if you have jet lag, or I don't know, if I stayed up really late, I might drink a cup of coffee in the afternoon, but I don't overdo it. So I suppose it can be what you said, dehydrating, if you overdo it. But again, it's 90% water, so I'm not so sure if that. Again, it's controversial. You'll read two schools of thought on it. Actually, coffee has so many home cure benefits. I mean, it can help you if you're bloated. It can help you stay regular. It can have diuretic effects a little bit. What are some more home cures? I actually include more than 50 home cures, but there's so many. It actually can help you curb anxiety. It can make you more feel more calm. A lot of women will tell you that if they drink a cup of coffee, it calms them. If you have brain drain, it could actually enhance your mind. I know that for sure. The cost, a medium roast with honey and lemon, and a lot of people do use honey in their coffee. It can soothe that tickle. Depression, without a doubt, coffee and the caffeine, it can definitely uplift the spirits, but you don't want to overdo. Once again, it can be it can detoxify your body. Again, if you team it with vinegar, well, vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and honey, it can help cleanse body toxins. There's just so many things. Kidney stones, it can lower your risk, and a medium roast is what I say for that. But there's just so many things that coffee can do because of all the compounds that are in it. And there's more than 300 compounds that scientists have discovered that are in coffee.
Right. I'm going to give you a little barista trick. When we made hot coffee and there was some left over, we put it in the fridge and it's good for 4 days. And you just pour it over ice and that's your iced coffee. So I love iced coffee. And
That's
I don't know if
funny.
you do that.
I do have iced coffee recipes in the book. I just ran a question, do you like iced coffee or hot coffee, in a coffee group. And most people preferred, well, they like both. I don't like iced coffee that much. Where I live, in the mornings it's usually cool, in the summer, and at nights it's cool. So I prefer hot coffee. But what you just said, a lot makes me think about how you can store coffee. A lot of people will tell you you cannot put coffee in the refrigerator and you cannot freeze it. Well, guess what? You can. Again, I had to taste a lot of coffee when I was doing my research. So what am I going to do? Keep it in the cupboards? No. I froze a lot of it, and you know what? I did not notice a difference in the aroma, the flavor, or any of it. So coffee does have somewhat of a long shelf life if you do that. If you keep it just in the pantry and not freeze it or refrigerate it, it doesn't last as long. So, I'm a believer that you can freeze it, and I do say that in the book. But again, a lot of people will tell you forget it. You've got to get it from your roaster ASAP, do it immediately, or forget it. I beg to differ. It just, of course, that's just like getting fresh bread, though. Who wouldn't want fresh bread straight from the bakery or even at home, just when you make it? It really is awesome when you have it like that, but not everyone's going to be at the roaster 24/7. So bottom line is, I do believe you can freeze it and you can put it in the refrigerator.
Absolutely. One other little thing we used to do in the coffee shop is we would take that cold coffee and just pour a little bit into a milkshake. Oh my gosh.
I've done
That
that. That's true. Yeah, that's
is
really good.
great taste. Now let's move over to tea. Tell me some of the benefits of tea and
Well,
drinking.
now I did not write the book on tea, and that's funny you say that because that should be my next book, Tea. How did you know that?
I mean, I would assume it has many of the same properties and is also very healthy for you with antioxidants. I know green tea is very high in antioxidants.
Yeah, but I was just wondering what made you mention that, the tea book, because did you think you're just kind of like mentioning it because you like tea, or did you think that I wrote a book on
Oh,
tea?
I'm just kind of an offbeat interviewer.
Well, actually, the other book, I have five of them in the Healing Powers series, and I did do the honey book. It is my favorite. It's number four, The Healing Powers of Honey, and I do have a whole chapter on honey and tea, and I love tea. And that's why I want it to be my sixth Healing Powers book. I'm drinking tea right now, chamomile. I have all types of teas. Actually, in chapter 10, I'm looking at it, teas with your honey. There's herbal teas, of course, which a lot of people don't believe are real tea. But the real tea, black, green, oolong, white, and red. And of course, paired with antioxidant-rich honey, they can give you so many good-for-you compounds that can enhance your health and well-being. Black tea is really good for you, but it's kind of people, even though it's still the most popular tea today, people seem to focus more on green tea for health benefits. But I say both of them are good for you, without a doubt. I've never really favored green tea personally. I have it. I have it out in the kitchen, but I prefer the taste of black tea more. I'm just used to it more.
Well, let's segue into your book on honey and talk about,
Sure.
so many of us have a sore throat. So is that that's the classic remedy, right? Is tea and honey?
Well, Mike, you heard my voice about what? Half an hour ago, and it was raspy. And doesn't it sound smoother? Guess what?
What
Guess
did you
what?
do?
What did I do? I took a teaspoon of tea honey from Savannah, Georgia. It's wonderful honey, and it just coats the throat. So if you have a sore throat or a tickle in your throat, and I am on radio a lot, it really does help. I should follow my own advice because you can tell. You witnessed it, Mike.
I
You
really
did.
did. In a half an hour, your voice is totally. You sounded like Rod Stewart half an hour ago.
Oh God, I would think more like Deborah Winger, but I'll take Rod Stewart.
Female version of Rod Stewart, yeah.
That's cute.
And it's totally changed in half an hour. That is true. So tell me a little bit, give me the overview on the book on honey.
I love this book. Well, basically, honey, did you know that this is Mother Nature's nectar of the gods? And it goes back as far as 5,000 years ago, discovered by the Egyptians. Eating honey, much like coffee, it can help lower, because of the antioxidants, it can lower the risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes too, and even help you to reduce body fat, unwanted weight, and all those things. If you're lucky enough to get through all that, it's going to increase longevity. You're going to live a longer, more quality life. I'm 95. You would never know, would you?
I'm 96.
I know, I know. Now it's the pure, raw, unprocessed honey that is a healthier sweetener than table sugar and that high fructose corn syrup. During the research of this book, I started looking at labels of juices and things I used to buy, and I do not like that high fructose corn syrup. I have an adverse reaction to it. I don't think it's healthy for you, and a lot of researchers agree with me. Honey, I believe, is the healthiest sweetener. And like I said, it's full of antioxidants, minerals, and vitamins. And get this, it only has 21 calories per teaspoon. So it is not fattening. Also, I cook and bake with it. What did I make? I have this cooking column every week. I made something last week. Oh, a rice pudding that a lot of people actually use a half to three-fourths cup white sugar. Forget that. I just used a little bit of honey. And then I, added raisins, natural sweeteners, and it was awesome with cinnamon and nutmeg. So you can cook and bake with it, and you'll use less. But, honey is a sweetener, so you can't overdo again. Yes, that's my barking puppy.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, I can do a little commercial right now. Do you want to put the puppy outside or something? It's coming through.
No, he's a five-month-old, $1,000 puppy.
Cal, it's coming through the radio. Is there a way that you can close the door or something?
The door is closed. Let me see what I can do as we go to commercial.
I'm going to do a little commercial, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so this is Odyssey, and on BBS Radio, every week we do some news headlines, and later in the show, we're going to go to the TNT News Trader, and that's right under the website, right on the main page of the website, and TNT always has excellent news headlines, so we'll go through the top stories toward the end of the show in the last 15 minutes. And Cal Ori is our guest. Her website is calorey.com. That's calorey.com. And she has the five books on the coffee, the vinegar. And Cal, are you back? Cal, are you back yet? Okay, well, it sounds a lot better. I think she's moving the dog to another room. Her books are on olive oil and honey and chocolate. So we've covered two of them, and we will get to the other three. And are you back? Okay, so, and then my website, I make films on the Anunnaki. I've done four films at this point on ancient aliens, and I'm at mysteryislands.net. So I also do tarot on the air on Skype. So if those interest you, you want to find out a bit, little bit more about me, go to mysteryislands.net, and that has all of the details about those films and the tarot. Okay, we'll see if Cal is back. Is she back?
I don't know. It's really a challenge with the new puppy. I've got him inside with me, but this is a challenge, I have to tell you, without a doubt.
Okay,
he's better,
so let's,
but now the
let's
senior
move
dog.
On. Let's, you were talking about honey. What are some of the other uses of honey?
Home cures, without a doubt. I use home cures in all of these Healing Powers books. And let me go to the back. I'll be amazed at all that this honey can do. Manuka honey, by the way, comes to mind. Manuka honey is amazing for skin. They're even using it in hospitals in the United States these days. I was sent Manuka honey, and I've used it topically. For a scratch, probably from one of my critters, to a spider bite, you name it, and it really works. It has a lot of antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties in it, just like honey does. Now you could use regular honey, but I was thinking just like vinegar, apple cider vinegar, which I've used as well. People would sometimes never think you can use that on scrapes or burns or anything, but you can. Manuka honey is expensive, however, but you're not going to use a lot, and it works. But you can use honey topically. Topically, not internally, for acne, allergies. You can use it. You can ingest it with tea for allergies. And a lot of people believe that if you get it from your honey producer, the person that actually gets honey, that makes honey from the bees within a 50-mile radius from your home, it's best because it kind of has a homeopathic way of working, where it can fight off allergies. I actually did that. I went to where Reno, 50 miles from me, during our spring allergies and fall allergy season's really bad. It can mess with my sinuses, and I got that honey straight from the bees. I got to see the bees in the backyard. It was a really fun experience, and I took it home, and it was alfalfa honey that I actually got, and I believe it did work, but I was taking so much honey during that time, during the research, I guess we'll never know if it was the alfalfa or the other honey.
Right. Now, when you go to the store, so you want to look for the word raw. Does it have to say raw on it for the benefits?
Preferably. But not all the honey that I have in my pantry is raw, but I was sent that. That is the best. It's just like, yeah, again, like the coffee and just like the apple cider vinegars we'll talk about. You want to get it in its most natural state because it maintains the integrity rather than you don't want to overprocess. If you overprocess it, you're going to lose a lot of it, all the good stuff.
One that I see at Trader Joe's is white creamed honey. Do you know about that variety?
I did have the white honey from Hawaii, and it's so good. It really is. It's expensive. I don't know if it's expensive at Trader Joe's, but I do include that.
Right. Now, you're right about Manuka honey, because I've been told if you're ever sick at all or have any kind of virus, you have to go to a health food store and get Manuka honey, and it should say like plus 15 or something. There should be a number.
Right, right. I interviewed the researcher that actually came up with those numbers. I think he's in Australia or New Zealand, Peter Molan. And, the stronger it is, it's the UMF. If it's less than 10, see, Manuka honey can be safely ingested by humans if the UMF is less than 10. The stronger it is, and you use it topically. The scientist, very well known, by the way, in the honey world, he actually used it for his gums, where he'll just put it on his gum if he has a gum irritation in the mouth.
Now, I was told to take it if it's a 15 or 20. Was I taking too high of a dose?
Probably. But you're still alive,
wow,
so you're okay. I mean, it's called a unique Manuka factor. He actually, the scientist, I had an exclusive interview. It was really fascinating. He coined the UMF, unique Manuka factor term, which is the antibacterial potency of a given honey. So I guess it really did you well. Medical professionals in New Zealand use Manuka honey with UMF ratings of 10 or higher. Currently, tests are being done in the U.S. to find out if there's an antibacterial potency in other honeys. Then I asked him, which varietals do you feel may make the grade? He originally devised the term UMF, like I said. But that is one of the best.
Right. Now, what about royal jelly, when I see that term?
You know, I received that from honey people, and it freaked me out. That's really for serious honey people. When you open it up, it's expensive. Again, you can get it at health food stores. When it's called a super bee food because it includes nutrient-rich bee pollen. It looks weird. It has all these little beads on top of it. Have you seen it? Do you use it?
No, I've never bought it. No.
Basically, I think I have a sidebar in the book where I explain that people have used it for coughs and colds and flu, where they take maybe a teaspoon just straight, but I'm a little bit chicken. I'd rather do like what I did earlier today, where, you know, you could just take a teaspoon or put it in whatever you eat. To help fight off allergies, coughs, fatigue, pain, stress, even boost libido. You know, it just, again, honey has so many home cures, and it's really not that expensive, and it lasts a long time, and the shelf life of honey it's very, very, very long. The worst case scenario is it'll crystallize. You can put it in the microwave quickly and get rid of most of the crystallization. I kind of like it. It's kind of like crunchy. But you don't want to get any bacteria in there. You know, you don't want to cross-contaminate. Like, you know, you don't want to put a – if you're cooking with honey, you don't want to put a spoon into something – you know, edible, and then put that in the honey and then put it out, then I would be very wary of using that. But if you have a clean spoon, you can use the honey. Shelf life is very, very long.
So if you're baking and something calls for a cup of sugar, how much honey would you put in instead?
A lot less. I actually include a converter. Some guy made a conversion chart. But like I was saying, when I made that baked rice pudding last week, instead it called for, I always change recipes, but the basic rice pudding calls for a half to three-fourths cup sugar, white sugar. I ended up using a fourth of white sugar, and I use 2 large teaspoons of honey. And I'm telling you, it was sweet enough. It really was.
Absolutely. So what are the other drinks you can put honey in?
Well, a lot of people I talk to use it in coffee. I haven't done that. But all teas, you definitely can use it in smoothies without a doubt.
That's a really good idea, especially if you have spinach or kale in your smoothie, you know, or some vegetable, and you really want to sweeten it up.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, both the coffee book and the honey book have been, they're available through the Good Cook Book Club. And I, probably because of the recipes, I include more than 50 recipes from famous chefs and health spas and a few of my own recipes. I scatter them at the end of each chapter, and then there's a huge recipe section in the back. But we're talking like banana nut bread. You can use it in baking. In salads, without a doubt, like almond crusted shrimp salad and citrus dressing. So you can use honey and dressings, and you don't lose all those antioxidants by baking it, but you can lose some, obviously. Honey mustard, chicken tenders. I mean, there's just really great recipes in this. Honey oatmeal cookies. This one's mine, a honey custard pie. So, and I think I have a sweet potato pie, too, that is really good where you use honey, and honey-glazed game hen. So,
okay, I'm now extremely hungry.
Yeah, I know. I'm making me
hungry. Why don't you briefly give out your website, spell it out, and tell us the Walmart announcement.
Oh, that's right. Okay, my website, www.cal, like California, O-R-E-Y.com. And Walmart, I have heard that you can get it online at Walmart, but I believe that 3 of the Healing Power series, honey, vinegar, and olive oil, will be carried right at the store where you can go into Walmart and actually get these books. And I've already looked online, and it looks like it's going to happen within a week or so. On the 13th, they're going to start, you're going to be able to find it there.
So, or just go to your website and order the books at calori.com.
Yeah, I don't really like, I have them there. Yeah, I don't really like to sell them. People can get them at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Walmart online. They will be able to get at Walmart, the real store. All the online bookstores carry these books.
Okay, that's great. Now we are going to move over to olive oil. Olive oil.
And what did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
We're going to move over to and talk about the healing powers of olive oil.
Correct. This was my second book. It came after vinegar. Olive oil, I have to admit, I didn't know that much about it when I started my research, but now I know everything that I want to know about olive oil and more. Olive oil, it's been around from ancient times to present day, and most people know that it's the healthiest oil to use. When I grew up, you know, my mother used to use the vegetable oil or Crisco, margarine, those fats, not so healthy. But olive oil, because it has the antioxidants, just like all these 5 superfoods that I write about, the antioxidants, the good for you components that can help stave off high cholesterol, heart disease, cancer. It can actually even help you lose weight. I interviewed one doctor where he took a teaspoon or a tablespoon of light olive oil and every day, and he lost, dozens of pounds that he unwanted weight that he wanted to in a matter of time. And he gives credit to the olive oil that curbed his appetite. So
yeah, I have a really basic question. Do you refrigerate it? Because it can get kind of solid, or can you leave it out on the counter?
No. Some people, you see some chefs that actually have olive oil on the stovetop. I suppose if it's dark, a dark bottle, you can do that if you use it a lot every day, but it's definitely going to compromise the antioxidants, the quality. Plus, years ago, when I knew nothing about olive oil, somebody was moving and they gave me olive oil, and I made this pasta salad, and I did not know olive oil could go rancid. I got so sick from that, like an hour later, I thought I was going to die. So definitely look, if you most olive oils, and I prefer this, they have an expiration date on the bottle. Please look at that. You don't, the shelf life of olive oil isn't as long as honey, or vinegar. Those have really a long shelf life. Chocolate, coffee, and olive oil, no, there's a limited shelf life. You've got to remember that. And always store it in a dark pantry. And I don't refrigerate it. Where did you hear that? Do you do that?
Well, a lot of people, for instance, put their dressings that are olive oil and vinegar in the fridge. You know, that's where people
store it.
Well,
that's true. I mean, yeah, because you're going to marry the flavor, the aromas, without a doubt. I mean, you're not going to make a salad dressing and leave it out on the countertop, correct? But just to put your olive oil, you know, literally, a bottle of olive oil into the refrigerator, no, I don't do that. But dressing, I agree.
Some of them say refrigerate after opening.
Never have. No. I've always kept it in a dark pantry. And again, I definitely look at the expiration dates. I've noticed that when I get olive oil from a producer, a lot of times there aren't expiration dates. Maybe they assume that you're going to use it quickly. Or they want you to come back and get more. I don't know what it is, but I don't feel comfortable unless it has an expiration date on it.
Right. Now, there was a scandal in the news about a year ago that some olive oil coming from Europe, they said it was extra virgin, but it was not. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I remember reading about that. I don't know. You can't. It's scary. Same thing with honey, you know, and chocolate, that they use a lesser quality and all that. Yeah, I know people are trying to cut costs. I'm not going to say that it's true or not. I wasn't there, but you've got to. It's best to get it from someone you know, your local producer or a brand that you works for you and you feel really, really comfortable with, is what I say. You know, it's a dangerous world we live in today, very scary. You never know what you're going to get unless you kind of know. You know, if you really trust your brand or trust your supplier, that's the way to go.
Well, all of these things I have found and I buy at farmers markets, and I really believe in supporting the local farmer. So I would encourage,
right.
For instance, I get, honey at a local farmers market. So
yeah,
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And also, if you have allergies, that's good because you get, hopefully, within a 50-mile radius to your home, that supposedly can work better, according to beekeepers and a lot of proponents of it that have allergies, 50-mile radius, again, to get that homeopathic method working.
So my understanding of olive oil is that, according to doctors, it really cleans out your arteries and the cholesterol. What do you think of that?
That's what they say, and I'm sure that I cite studies in the book. Again, I do believe that it's healthier than margarine and that Crisco back in the 50s our parents used and all that. I do admit when I cook and bake, I like to combine olive oil with European-style butter. I'm an olive oil producer, cook, baker. Gemma Shabiga, every time I tell her that, she lectures me about heart disease. But I tell her just a little bit of European-style butter. It's kind of my trademark in my baking, even my cooking, for the flavor. Just a little bit, though, in moderation. Butter can have, real butter, can have some health benefits. But again, I don't do a Paula Deen and use tons and tons of butter, but I like to mix it with olive oil for the flavor. But I know that there's herbal olive oils that taste great. So it's not to say olive oil doesn't taste good, but it is an acquired taste, without a doubt.
And what are the other uses, topical or cosmetic, for olive oil that you found?
Oh, there's tons. Even for our pets. I'm going to be on a radio show later this week on just everything we're talking about, but for our four-leggers. So you could actually use it for your dog. If your dog or cat gets a tick, you know, if you're out camping or live in a woodsy area, rural area, you put the olive oil right on the tick instead of lighting a match. That was actually seen in that movie City of Angels with Meg Ryan. She has a yellow lab, and her doctor boyfriend did it. And then that's where I first saw it. But you can, olive oil, again, you can use it for beauty like the other superfoods I write about, but you can use it for sore feet. You can try to soak in a pan of warm water, dilute 3 drops of lavender essential oil, 2 drops of eucalyptus essential oil, and 2 drops of lemon, that's invigorating, essential oil, and 2 teaspoons of olive oil. Add it to a foot bath. That can make your feet feel better. I have a little recipe for a hangover. Do you ever get a hangover?
Of course, yeah. What's that?
What is it? I'm trying to look at the recipe. One gentleman claimed it made him sick, but it is believed that the olive oil cleanses the gallbladder and liver as well as soothes the tummy.
Is it a massage oil? Can you use it for that?
For a massage, yes. How did you know that? Yeah, I even have that in their little recipes on... you combine it with essential oils, and definitely it's really good for massages. It's good for an earache, for a cough, for cuticles. I've done that, living up in the mountains, you know, bringing in wood during the winter, shoveling snow, walking the dogs. You can imagine what it does to your hands, mountain girl hands. But if you put topically olive oil, any type, just on your hands, the cuticles, it really can soothe that, smooth it out. I think some manicurists use oil like that. I know when I've had pedicures, they've done that.
Right. Now, time is running a little short. We're going to go into the healing power of vinegars. Why don't you tell me about some of the great benefits?
Okay, this whole series started with vinegar back in 1999. An editorial consultant at Kensington called me up one day, and he said, do you want to write a book on vinegar, or do you want to ghostwrite a book for a cardiologist on heart disease? Big decision. After a week, I said, okay, I'll do vinegar. Knew very little about it, except my mom used it when I was a kid in a dressing. So I delved into the world of vinegar. Oh, my God. Yeah, I learned so much. I mean, this has been around for centuries, just like the other superfoods I write about. Most of the books that you see on vinegar are about apple cider vinegar. I gave this book a different spin, and maybe that's why it's been translated in more than 15 languages. And it was the best-selling health book in South Korea. They love vinegar and fruit drink vinegars. But I gave this book a different spin, and I tackled red wine vinegar to see if it had resveratrol like red wine vinegar does. I actually had a couple scientists do some experiments for me to see if it did. It does have traces of it, but not really enough or as much as red wine vinegar. But still, it does have antibacterial, anti-inflammatory effects that apple cider vinegar does. It's a lot healthier in a salad dressing than the store-bought kind that you buy that have all those trans fats and, you know, high calories. So it does have a lot of health benefits. So even though it didn't pan out to be, you know, like wine with the resveratrol, it still has a lot of healthy antioxidants without the alcohol. Plus, there's so many home cures with vinegar, all types of vinegar, apple cider vinegar, red wine, balsamic, herbal vinegar, and you can use it topically for swimmer's ear, which I get, devout swimmer. You can use it for a sore throat, a sunburn topically, and also there's a wealth of natural beauty treatments you can use vinegar for, and you can use it for kids and pets topically. It's just, you know, it's been around forever. And also, this was in the Good Cookbook Club because you can cook. You can cook with vinegars, and you can bake with vinegars. A lot of people don't know that. But I just like, there's dozens of recipes where marinated green vegetables, Greek pita pizza. I think there's even vinegar pie that I got from the Vinegar Institute, vinegar cookies from the Vinegar Man, strawberries with orange and balsamic vinegar. Yeah, I'm getting hungry too.
You know, I read a stunning article this week that you can just use it to kill weeds. I mean, everyone uses Roundup from Monsanto with all these chemicals, but white wine vinegar apparently kills garden weeds.
That sounds familiar. They probably got it from my book. right. You can actually get rid of a headache, muscle cramps, apple cider vinegar. It may get rid of the acid crystals for muscle cramps, so it says. Night sweats, it could control sweating. Shingles, I've been seeing these commercials on TV about older people getting shingles. Apple cider vinegar can help relieve burning and itching. Insect and bee stings, vinegar relieves pain and inflammation. Oh, my God. Last summer, we had a beehive. I'm an intuitive, and I called the bee guy, the bee remover guy, to come out here, and I said, a bee stung my dog. Would you please remove a nest? And he went underneath the deck. He said, there is no nest. I saw an image of it. I kept saying, please go under there. Go deeper. Lo and behold, an hour later, he brought out this huge nest. Now, as an intuitive, I was happy I got a hit, but meanwhile, I had gotten stung by one of those. It was a wasp. That's what it was, a wasp nest. That caused so much pain. For a day, I died, and I tried everything, and I tried vinegar. I don't know if it helped it, but I was in so much pain. So it's worth it. And again, vinegar has anti-inflammatory and antibacterial benefits. So, and that's why I've tried it, because it's worked for other surface, things that you get up in the mountains.
Absolutely. And then real briefly, your last book on chocolate, is it true you should buy cacao, C-A-C-A-O? Is that the best kind of chocolate?
Yeah, when I started the research on this book, I was already eating the Hershey's bars that you buy at the grocery store, and it says that, it doesn't tell you the percentage of cocoa content, but it does say it has antioxidants. I started on 40% cocoa content, and I was sent chocolate all around the world, some up to 80%. I have to tell you, that's an acquired taste. It really is. I'm really about 60%. Ghirardelli at your supermarket, I buy those chocolate chips when I bake, or if I just want to munch on them, and that's 60%. 70%, again, an acquired taste. The way to get it into it and like it is if you get chocolate that's 70% cocoa content, but infused with herbs, fruits, and spices and nuts that you like. That way it gives it more of a sweet taste, and your palate will be happier. Again, I'm not sure who really loves 80% content of cocoa. It can be bitter. Of course it's better for you, without a doubt, but takes a while. It takes a while to really like it. And why would you want to eat chocolate if you don't enjoy the, experience? Of course, you want to eat it for health, but you want to eat it because it tastes good as well.
Absolutely. So what are the main health benefits of chocolate? Is it the antioxidant?
Again, like the other foods we mentioned, it can help boost the immune system because of the antioxidants. It lowers the risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and even obesity. That is so true. So many girls, when I tell them I wrote the book on chocolate, they are packing on unwanted weight, and they look at me like I'm crazy. But I'm skinny. I'm like 117 pounds, 5'5". And I don't sit down and eat a whole box of truffles every day, but I will eat. I incorporate chocolate in my diet without a doubt, probably every other day, whether it's a dark chocolate truffle or a square of chocolate, chocolate chips, even a small slice of, like a chocolate cake, you name it. You just don't want to eat it all day. All these things I've mentioned are in moderation. And what it can do, it can...
Eat it with love. Eat it with love and good intentions.
Right. Savor the taste, and it curbs your sweet tooth. It really can. Plus, it gives you energy. There's a little bit of caffeine in chocolate, dark chocolate, but not a lot, not like coffee. But it energizes you. And then I go off and I go swim. So you want to get a move on as well as eat your chocolate too, and so you get the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. Raquel, you are a fountain of knowledge, and you have amazing books, The Healing Power of Coffee, Honey, Olive Oil, and Vinegar. And thank you for joining us. Give out your website one more time.
Okay, www.3ws.cal, like California, O-R-E-Y.com.
Cal, and Ari, thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, that was an exciting interview, and for the last segment of the show, we're going to dig right into the news of the day. I want everybody to go to the main page of bbsradio.com, scroll down to the middle, and you will see TNT News, and that is my source of news. I no longer watch the lamestream media, and I go to alternative websites like Alex Jones, InfoWars, and Jeff Rentz, and TNT News. And so if you could scroll down to TNT News and click that on, and we're going to talk about some of the articles. The big story this week is UFO disclosure in Washington, D.C. All of the top experts on UFOs went to Washington, D.C., and they talked to former members of Congress, a lot of political movers and shakers in D.C. And the big story to me is a complete news blackout. Nothing in the newspapers, nothing on the radio, nothing on television. We are living in a giant vacuum of the media, of the lamestream media. So they had all kinds of silly stories this week, I'm sure. They were probably grateful for the wildfires that gave them a distraction. They could go on and on about the wildfires and just avoid this topic. But the disclosure testimony was stunning. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project has assembled hundreds of former government military people coming forward. Oftentimes, they're at the end of their life. They're dying. These are deathbed confessions sometimes, or they're just tired of the lies and they want to get it off their chest, you know. So this one CIA agent, you got to see this video. He's about to die, and he gives a 15-minute interview. And he says in 1958, and click on the story on TNT News, and it will take you to the video, okay? In 1958, Eisenhower wanted to know what the hell is going on in Nevada, in Area 51. You know, MJ-12, they've got the secret government, they're involved in UFOs. Eisenhower wanted to know what was happening over there. So he sent this CIA agent over there. And they went, they found there was a UFO on the base, you know, a craft, and there was an alien there who was alive, and he interviewed the alien, and it was a gray, and he said it had looked, you know, not at all human. It was an alien they actually witnessed and saw, and then he went back to D.C. and reported it to Eisenhower. Now, Eisenhower had five heart attacks during his administration, you know. And apparently Nixon was there too, and they realized at that point that MJ-12 was operating outside the government. It was a rogue agency. They were going to do whatever they wanted, and it was shocking to Eisenhower, and that's why he gave that speech when he left office in 61 about the military-industrial complex. And you have got to control the shadow government, the alphabet agencies, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, all these, the ATF, you know, now we have the Department of Homeland Security. We have to monitor and watch and keep an eye on these agencies or they will go rogue. And apparently that's what MJ-12 did, making their own. They said that there was anti-gravitational energy that was, you know, information was traded from the ETs. They made a deal that they were allowed to abduct certain humans in exchange for the technology. God only knows what kind of deal they made. And once again, this was done outside of Eisenhower's watch. He was unable to contain or control the situation. So you have got to see this video. TNT linked up to beforeitsnews.com. That's an amazing website, beforeitsnews.com. And they have all the best testimony right there in like 20-minute clips that you can watch and put on your Facebook page immediately. These have to go viral. The other big clip I found, go to TNT News, and you'll see Paul Hellyer, the Ministry of Defense in Canada, a really, really big government insider. Paul Hellyer, H-E-L-L-Y-E-A-R, the Ministry of Defense in Canada. He gave a stunning 20-minute speech. He disclosed ETs and all of their a lot of their contacts with our planet. He disclosed the New World Order. He disclosed the Three Sisters, who he named as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberg Group. And he explained how there are these shadow governments, these rogue agencies. They are meeting behind the scenes. The media has been shut down through the Council on Foreign Relations. That's their main goal, is to control the media. And how they're creating a one-world government, and how they have destroyed the banking system. The Federal Reserve, it's a private bank. We're no longer on the gold standard. They're printing paper money. The Federal Reserve is owned by a bunch of European stockholders and wealthy people that are private, you know, banks and citizens, that we no longer have control of the Federal Reserve Bank and just follow the money. And then Stephen Greer had a clip, you know, and Steve Bassett runs a UFO disclosure group in Hollywood. And I went to his meeting, and he really lays it on the line. He says this isn't about disclosing aliens. They don't – the big companies don't really care about that. What the oil companies care about is the free technology. Well, if there's ETs and craft, how did they get here? What are they using? They're not using oil. Okay, they're using – some other kind of free energy, and that's what the oil companies object to, and that's why they're blocking UFO disclosure and ET disclosure. They want to keep us all on oil. It's such a wasteful, you know, polluted type of energy, but we have we can get the technology from the ETs, and that's the big block here. That's the big stop. And as far as religion goes, you know, it's really important to remember that's a separate topic. Your faith and your spirituality is a separate topic from ufology, and it's not it's something where you can believe in UFOs or not believe in them and still retain your faith, and that's important. And then the last, I know we're running out of time, but the Rolling Stone magazine apparently came out with an article that said, hey, you know, conspiracy theorists, you're actually right. There actually is a bunch of secret societies running the world. It's a cabal. And we apologize. And they kind of spell out a lot of the LIBOR fraud, which is incredible. I mean, if you look into the LIBOR scandal, they were manipulating the interest rates that we get our home mortgages from. And it's all just a big scam. It's all being exposed right now. So please follow these stories. Alex Jones does a good job. If you go to Alex Jones' website, watch his films. And then David Wilcock has really been exposing a lot of this financial tyranny. And David Wilcock's website is divinecosmos.com, divinecosmos.com. And I've really been following his work over the past year or two in financial tyranny, as he really kind of exposes the big banks and the new order and the Illuminati and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergs and all of these groups, and how it's all being exposed by now. People are turning to alternative information. So those were some of the big headlines that I came across on TNT News this week. excuse me, I had tried to jam a lot of information into the show. Our guest was Cal Ori. Amazing topic about coffee and vinegar and tea, chocolate and honey. And TNT News. And thank you for joining me at Odyssey. I'll see you next time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.